Hello, this is Grant from the Groupies Podcast and More Media. I just wanted to let you know today about our sponsor, Anchor. Anchor is a free podcasting app and website that you can access at any time. It allows you to publish, host, create, basically do anything with podcasts all for free. It's amazing. It basically runs most of And More Media, all of the podcasts that we do here. It specifically helps us at Groupies by publishing all of our podcasts everywhere where podcasts can be heard. Basically, you can use it as any regular website or podcast host where you upload your podcasts and you publish them to your RSS feed. However, Anchor is really cool in that there is a free app that you can download, Anchor, at any time to publish, produce, create your podcasts on the go. It's amazing. You should definitely go check it out. It's at anchor.fm. That's anchor.fm to visit more. All right, back to the show.
Welcome back to the B side, the dark side of the podcast, the side that everyone says is depressing, but also is a good time. The side that we just conversate.
Do people really say that?
No. The side where we just conversate about a certain topic that we wanted to talk about this week. And before I get into that topic, let's all introduce ourselves on this beautiful Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I'm Emir.
I'm Grant.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Tom.
Okay, so this week we're going to talk about great debuts. Mm-hmm. So this
And
how to follow them up.
Perfect.
So the reason why we talked about this is because recently, as you listened to on Monday, our classic was Torches by Foster the People, which is, I mean, as you know, is a classic to Tom.
A general indie classic.
And as you also may know is, and this is, maybe you might not feel this way, but first they took a hiatus and then they came out with their next album and it ain't as good.
And then they came out with another album.
That really ain't it.
They kind of have critically decreased in quality, Foster the People.
Yes. So that makes us also lead out to how do you follow up a great debut? So I turn it to
I actually have a quick question
panel.
For the room.
All right, bitch. Yeah.
I thought you were done. I thought you were handing it over.
No, I was going to say, now I turn it over to my panel of informative people.
All right. Thank you. I have a question. So hopefully a more informative person. This is not super related to the B-side, but so Torches, mm-hmm. Would you say that's a general classic?
In indie?
Just in general.
I would say in the indie genre,
would
yeah.
you say Oracular Spectacular is a general classic?
In the indie genre.
But not generally.
I don't think so.
Do you think it ever will be?
Maybe down the road.
Okay. So MGMT, we talked about them briefly last week on our B-side as well. And it's something I think is relevant here because they had a massive debut album. Oracular Spectacular was huge. It had, I don't want to say all their big hits, but a lot of their big hits. And that was a success that they didn't want. So following up their debut would be different than almost anybody else who was trying to get that success again. Mm-hmm. And so they specifically made an album that they... I don't want to say they didn't want to be commercially successful, but that's basically what they did. They wanted an entirely different sound to it, so that way like fans almost wouldn't, the people that listened to the last album, which was way more like commercially friendly, they wouldn't be the same people that listened to this one. It'd kind of like funnel it a little bit. But then it was like their most critically well-received album.
Right.
Kind of fell off after that, but it's still kind of an interesting thing there where it lost the commercial success, but it gained probably more critical success, whereas Foster the People, Torches was like very commercially successful. And then I don't want to say it's their hiatus that killed them, but then like, here's something interesting is what they said was, so Supermodel was the name of their next album, released 4 years later. And their manager, I think, or producer said that Supermodel was a great fourth album.
Ooh. Wow.
Which isn't to say that it was bad, but they thought that the sound between Supermodel and Torches was too drastic of a departure. Which I think is partial, which maybe because they took a 4 year hiatus and then their taste changed and they weren't making music to like show that progression. They just suddenly had a jump in progression.
Huh. Yeah.
And I don't think
that's interesting.
People say Supermodel is like the best. Foster the People fans, like diehard fans. I was looking at the subreddit this morning to see if there's anything. Is there a monster in here?
I'm sorry, dude. I've had a long day.
Halloween was
it
last
week.
It might
be me eventually, too, because I'm really hungry right now.
Yes.
So
order pizza.
I was looking at Reddit and the subreddit for Foster the People specifically, and the diehard fans think that people that like torches are lame. Like, what are the people? People that are like
the torches.
Common people.
Oh, the general audience?
I can't think of what it is.
Plebeian? I'm talking about general audiences?
Common people.
No, I can't remember. There's a specific term I'm looking for, and I can't think of what it is.
Like, what are you thinking about? Like, general people? Like
normies?
Yeah, normie. The people that like torches are normies.
Mm. So they're casuals.
Yeah. Whereas then, not like, hardcore. Supermodel is, like, the legit one that was critically panned.
Ooh.
And then Sacred Hearts Club is also very good. But they say Supermodel is actually the best, the diehard fans, which I thought was interesting.
Mm. The hardcore.
I don't think it is the best. I think it has some good songs, but I don't think it's as strong and consistent as Torches was. Where Torches, I felt like every song... personally, was like really consistent and very strong. And even if you were like, well, the lyrics are kind of boring, I bet you could pull the lyrics out of Life on the Nickel or something and be like, well, this beat is still fire. Whereas I felt like Supermodel was not as strong and had like Coming of Age. And I was like, this is pretty good. But it felt like they leaned away from the electronic bit and more into like the indie rock pop bit.
It was
a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which I didn't like because I thought that Torches was like such a unique sound, a similar way that Oracular Spectacular is such a unique sound.
Yeah.
And I still like the thing about NGMT though is that when they release a new album, each album, I guess I can't say that because I've only really listened to like Oracular Spectacular and Little Dark Age. Mm-hmm. Those are both like very different sounding albums that are also very like from each other and then also just like in general. Like not a lot of music sounds like that, which I think is good. Whereas like Torches or as Supermodel was like, Is it different?
Generic.
But is it good?
Yeah.
In a good way?
I don't see...
I haven't spent as much time with it as I have as Torches, so that might also be an influence.
It's interesting about Foster the People is, like, not a lot of people take a break after their first hit. I feel like a lot of people get back to work and put in a sophomore, and then maybe after that is when they take a chill pill.
I honestly think part of it is because they did Pumped Up Kicks, and that was, like, huge, and that was, like, a single.
Yeah.
And then they were, like... And like I said, they made the whole album after that, or like the whole rest of the album to back that up.
They were coasting off his album for a while.
And they signed a record deal, so they kind of probably had to be like, let's make stuff right now. Whereas then, like you were talking about on the B-side last week, is that like people's first album is their best because you can use all their ideas. Where I feel like they more were like Pumped Up Kicks, and they were like, oh shit, make some more stuff. Not to say that was like hasty or bad, but then they were like, okay, now we have time to like make something we really want. And we have like the freedom to do so because of the success of Torches. Now we can make what we really want to make. And then everyone's like, we wanted the other thing.
Well, I also,
not what you really wanted.
In this situation, I also feel like that it's better for artists to have a slow bubble as opposed to like come in with like a splash immediately. And then like the second album comes out, then everyone's like, oh.
I agree. I feel like some of the best artists are like ones that their first album is like good enough to like put them on the map, but not like legendary because then it's like you can never repeat that again. And like, well, I don't want to, like the Beatles had like a slow build as well.
Yeah, them.
Yeah.
A lot of people say like their best album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and that's like their seventh album or something. It's like it took time to get there and they kind of got, and it just takes time. So it's kind of better that way. I feel like you almost have a better appreciation for the music because you get to watch it progress quality wise as it progresses. Sound wise,
yeah,
yeah.
Not to say that there are some artists that have released like fantastic debuts that were then also able to follow it up, like Lady Gaga, The Fame, or whatever the first
she kept on going
and making really good ones. Like, I think that one's really good, but then like she did Joanne like 2 years ago, and that's like really good. And I was just really impressed. Imagine Dragons, Night Vision's very good. You know, Smoke and Mirrors is very good. Evolve is very good. AC/DC had High Voltage as their debut album, and they had like a slump in the middle of their career. They've had a long career. They had a slump, but then they came back, mm-hmm. But they still had that really good first album, and then weren't able to kind of even make good music after that. Mm-hmm. And some other artists are like Arctic Monkeys. They had a really good debut album, and did about 2 good albums after that, and their last album sucked. But
oh.
Shots fired.
Wow. I think an artist that did well is something Amir's not going to agree with, where their debut album wasn't like fantastic, but it was good enough, and that was Lil Dicky, whereas like he had his album that wasn't like a wide release, but then he had Professional Rapper, and that was like and that was really good, and that was way more successful. But then there's like legendary bands that I think have done it less well. Beastie Boys, I'll even throw them out there, where I think License to Ill is amazing. I would say that's a legendary album. Paul's Boutique, which is the follow-up, isn't bad by any means, but License to Ill is like that good that you're like, well, good fucking luck following that. You kind of have to like, it sets a quo, and then you kind of have to break it by doing something that's not as legendary, and then fans have a better expectation because they did release good albums after that. It's just like License to Ill was just like solid all the way through, and you're like, what? How do you follow that up?
Right. Lauryn Hill. Lord?
Lauryn Hill.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's.
The 1975's title album, their debut, was like off the frickin' charts, and then the one they followed it up with in 2016 was equally as successful.
It was pretty successful. That's true.
And now they're making music that's wildly different. Have you listened to like the latest singles?
I actually really like them.
I like them too.
I do agree
but
that
totally
they're wildly
different.
Yeah, but I do think that they're still putting out quality stuff.
Yeah. Amir's standing up, picking up the stuff that he once threw to the ground. And
see, Lil Dicky is someone we don't talk about on the podcast because Amir gets angry, turns into the Hulk.
Anyways, back to debut albums.
Yeah.
And the careers that follow them.
Are we going to talk about some of the negative ones, though? Like, we gave a list.
We can talk about
like,
anything here, yeah.
We gave a list of the ones that we think were successfully.
I listed a few.
I
listed a few that were subjective.
They put out an awesome debut, and then they kept going, but I think that it's even easier, unfortunately, to identify the artist that put out
a great first debut and then just went down.
One that I would like to bring up that may be a personal classic for me at some time, but I still think that it's just a decline from the debut, is my man, The Weeknd.
Oh, wow.
I love him, and I love his music.
I look at the album.
To be fair,
Beauty Behind the Madness album
was, like, insanely successful.
I don't know if that's his first album.
Yeah, it is. If you don't count the trilogy.
I haven't heard that name in a minute.
Okay, what the... He had an album called Kissland.
So
I never even heard of Kissland.
Okay.
I was thinking Beauty Behind the Madness. What the fuck is Kissland?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, here's the thing.
And the trilogy.
Also, what's that?
I'm pretty sure that the trilogy and Kissland were put out underneath a different label and made in like a whole different... There's a giant separation.
Drake
between...
is on Kissland. You know that?
Yeah,
yes,
actually,
they were
Drake
very
tried
frequent.
To sign The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
very hardcore. He wanted to sign The Weeknd, and The Weeknd was like, I'm not signing. And honestly, like, Drake lost some major money there because he put out Beauty Behind the Madness.
They helped write a lot of Take Care. Well, not a lot of, but
so are you considering
Weeknd,
Beauty Behind the Madness his real debut?
I mean,
it's his best album.
I know I can't really do that, but I do consider that his debut because
it's really good.
It's so freaking different instrumentally than his two albums before, and it was his first time on the radio, and it was his first...
No, it wasn't.
Was it not?
Crew Love.
Thing is, I know people that... I know
yeah,
people
but
that,
like Can't
think
Feel
Trilogy
My Face and stuff.
Are you talking about
and
by himself?
Often and
yeah,
the Hills?
Yeah, I'm talking about like... Yeah.
Yeah, because he was heavily on Drake stuff.
You think people that like
but
really
even
did
if
like
you don't consider that his debut
Star
album,
Boy is,
you can still consider the decline
like
from
Star
Beauty
Boy.
Behind the
Boy.
Madness to Starboy. Star you like Starboy, oh, Grant? Yeah.
I love Daft Punk, so
of course.
Wait, do you are you talking about the song or the album as a whole?
The whole album. I like
I can't,
a few.
I can only think without listening. I've listened to this album before, but like the single
Star
slaps.
Boy, and I feel it coming. I like too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, that's the one that he,
oh, I know
he did
song
that one
too.
With Daft Punk, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Starboy has a billion plays on Spotify.
Yeah. There are a couple on there that I like, but that's one artist that I think of, unfortunately, when I think of declines, because
you're melancholy.
Like, literally, you know how Tom was talking about earlier how there are some albums you can come across personally where it's like there's not a single song on that album you would skip. Beauty Behind the Madness for me, like that was like, it's like I love that album. And then you look at Starboy and you look at the EP of Dear My Melancholy that he put out after that, and it's just like everything sense.
Do you think it's because he is like, I don't want to say no, like art, everybody is, people are, but do you think it's because he in particular is like, his music that he produces is so heavily based on like his specific moods and his specific life at that time?
I actually see memes on the internet all of the time that'll be like a picture of The Weeknd with Bella Hadid being like super happy and stuff, and the caption will be, look how happy The Weeknd is. His music's gonna be shit. And I laugh because I'm like,
but then when Selena left him, you got to call out my name. That's a fucking banger.
Exactly. It is. I know. And he's like just so happy lately, and people are posting these horrible text posts about, oh, next album's gonna be shit.
Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing then, that he is influenced in that way, or his music, I guess, is influenced in that way?
I think it can go both ways.
Mary J. Blige is the same way. I'm getting old school.
You're not going to write Blinds. About bad things in your life if they're not happening.
Yeah. Like Mary J. Blige, all her good albums are when she's like really, really sad, or like she was getting beat by her husband and shit like that. But then her up, like when she's having a good point in her life, that's when it's like,
What's the thing is, like, imagine
some people as an artist, you're going to be better at making things just as an individual. So some people are better at making their art in a happy mood. Some people are better at making their art in a sad mood, you know? And like, unfortunately, even though it's, I would much rather him be happy. During Beauty Behind the Madness, he had some major drug problems and some major romance problems. And then, but man, look at that album though.
But
so, well, here's my thing is like, Imagine Dragons though. You said like, he's not gonna write about sad stuff. He's not feeling sad stuff. Imagine Dragons is like, I think, well, us Imagine Dragons fans here think that like all their albums are solid. I think Evolve is like my favorite. But that's like, they all have like depression and that kind of thing in them. But like Evolve is like the happiest, but like still Night Visions is like super good. It's all, it's consistent quality wise. Mm-hmm. Whereas The Weeknd is like such a drastic change in quality.
Or most people consider so.
Yes, yeah. I know people that like Starboy.
That's a Grant over here.
Or at least, well, I'll say you consider such a drastic change in quality.
Do you think?
Do you think that that's a bad thing, that like his music is affected in that such way? Like in the way that, you know, artists like Imagine Dragons, their music isn't affected by specific feelings in that same way?
There are definitely some major cons to working like that as an artist. But also because you have to have emotions and the human experience to be an artist, it's kind of something you can't avoid. Like, yeah, it's going to have some negatives because you're going to not be in a place. You're going to not be, you know, like experiencing extreme emotions or epiphanies or changing points in your life. And if you're not, then you're not going to have monumental stuff to write about. Sometimes it's going to suck. Sometimes it's going to be good. But I don't think it's like avoidable, though, because that's where your art comes from, is like changing human emotion.
Yeah, I guess. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I just think it's like some artists are, I guess, are better just like being able to maintain that quality, where some people are just like deeply affected by it.
I was going to throw in,
which I guess you'd rather, like people that are really affected, you don't want them to be like faking it and putting out good music.
I was going to do another example for me of a negative. If we're going off a you don't count the trilogy or whatever, I will fucking.
I might count the trilogy.
For me,
I have people that think the trilogy is like fantastic.
I like the trilogy.
Yeah, it's three albums.
For me,
and House of Balloons, that would also have to be counted. But also, Frank Ocean, Channel Orange, I think is amazing. But Blonde, especially after having that big ass time gap between Channel Orange and Blonde, it did not like live up like.
Can any album, though, under that amount of stress and pressure and hype?
That's true, because Channel Orange, he was, like, after, like, the fucking nostalgias, whatever the fuck before that, and then going into Channel Orange, and then taking that huge break.
It's a good album.
Blonde had to be, and
Bad Religion
it wasn't.
Is my stuff. That song is it's a good old mood.
It's,
How do you not have it on vibrate yet? I don't understand. I mean, off vibrate. Why don't you just have it? Just
I don't know how to do that. You want to do that for me, please?
I don't have an iPhone.
Great. Come on.
Do you need me to?
Yes. As I was saying before, my whole thought system was kicked again.
We get it, Amir. You're popular.
I'm not. The Blonde, even though for him he said that personally the reason why Blonde wasn't, well, he didn't say this, but it was the whole idea was that he had like a certain amount of albums that he had to do to get off his label, and he threw Blonde out as a way for him to get off the label. So, I mean...
Oh, okay.
I'm going to ask this then, because you said that Channel Orange, I never listened to it. So.
Yeah.
Was like super good, and then he took a really long hiatus, and then some people didn't like Blonde as much. And Grant, you said
a lot
that
of people didn't.
Grant, you said that it kind of had this reputation built up for it, where it was almost doomed to fail. Are there any artists then that have like taken that long hiatus and then delivered? Where people are like, this is really good.
What
I was gonna say.
Where they didn't disappoint, or at least
nothing comes to mind at this.
I'm trying to think of the artists that modern artists really don't take hiatuses like that anymore. So that's why it's really hard to pin down.
Mm-mm. I'm trying to hold on. I guess
on a different note, I wanted to ask this: how many albums do you think the Killers have put out since Hot Fuss?
Hot Fuss.
A lot.
How many of those have you listened to? /remember.
I actually had that on here. Hot Fuss. Because could you even name the second album? Sam's Town has one song on it that people know.
I'm looking at it right now and I don't remember any of these albums, but
Wait a sec. There is one by them that I know.
Is it Battleborn?
No, go ahead. Hold on. I was going to pull it up too.
Yeah, I have to pull it up. Just keep.
Anyways.
Brotherfly was 3 years.
Was it? Yeah, he did wait a while before.
Day and Age. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Kendrick Lamar, if you can
wait,
say.
Wait, is Day and Age bonus tracks too Hot Fuss? Wait, what was that? Why did you say bonus tracks?
Anyways,
how does that mean?
If you look at the Killers and look at Hot Fuss, there's a solid thousands of singles on there.
Somebody said that Killers have.
Did you say somebody told you?
Somebody said that the Killers, every album since Hot Fuss will have like one really good song. That's almost accurate. Steph, I don't even know one song.
I can't say I'm a fan of them or really listen to any of their current music, but I think that's kind of an example that they're not even, I don't even know if they're relevant at this point as much as they were because of that, because of how impactful they're, like I still hear Mr. Brightside on a weekly basis, it feels like, just because college kids play it all the time, but like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
You hear that on a weekly basis?
To be fair, Mr. Brightside might be the most iconic song of our generation.
Mr. Brightside? Oh, yeah.
Not that I don't think it's a good song, Amir. I just said I'm sorry for him because, like, nobody should have to hear his song on a weekly basis unless it's, like, your choice.
Did you watch the Middle Eight video on Mr. Brightside?
No.
He did a video about how it's, like, this weirdly iconic song that, like, everybody knows. And that was in their debut, so. Here's what I was going to say. So, that album, we'll pick that one. That has better songs, or not better songs. It has other songs that are big other than Mr. Brightside. But Mr. Brightside obviously was, like, fantastic and huge and their most successful one. So you get famous off that single, really, and that album. Do you chase that success of that first one by going, let's find one radio hit? Or do you stay true to yourself and you're like, this is the music I want to make?
I don't know.
I don't know.
To be quite honest with you, like,
it depends on the artist, because
it truly does.
I'm looking at like Rihanna right now, and there's like shifts in her sound. Like heavy, like she started off as like super like poppy, like ha ha ha, look at me,
beam beam boom.
Yeah, yes, yeah. I
Disturbia.
You put up the hand.
Yeah, but then she gets to like Rated R.
Yeah,
and then like all like it just keeps going on. She's another one who's on the clock, because if her next album ain't great, like
did you not like Anti?
Oh, Anti is fucking amazing, but. Oh. If it ain't as good as Anti, and we didn't have to wait two years now.
Artists that made their best album after a long hiatus.
Ooh, Tom with the Googles.
Are you watching this?
Okay,
there we go. It just wasn't loading.
What?
I was clicking and it wasn't loading. I don't recognize any of these albums.
While you're looking at that, I'll say Kate Bush. That a smaller...
Let me see it. Let me...
Johnny Cash?
A smaller artist that put out a really successful debut, not overall, but within their like indie genre. And then also after that debut, put another one that was like equally received out after that. Glass Animals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Glass Animals did that. Like their first one was really successful, at least in that genre. And then their second one was pretty much just as successful, too.
Yeah. It was also basically a carbon copy, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was like, oh, this is Glass Animals.
Because I guess I don't really like listen to that genre of music enough to know, because when I hear it, I'm just like, oh, it just sounds similar because that's the genre.
Yeah.
And even though, controversially, X's first album is good, but then the second one was more commercially bigger than the first one and might have more, I don't know, feels than the first one. Well, not really, but more like listens than the first one.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys listen to the XX at all?
Who?
The XX.
Who? DMX?
I think I've heard songs.
Intro?
Intro.
I know.
Exactly.
You're talking about the album that's just black with a white X over it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they've
a couple
they've
of
released
theirs, yeah.
two other albums past that, but
really have
those,
they?
Yeah, I feel it's like Coexist and then I See You, but XX the debut is like what all of their hits are still off of too, and that's kind of one that sticks out to me because Whoa. They have a lot of songs that are popular and it's only that album, okay. So again, it's another artist that really They're making the same exact music that they did previously, but it's just not sticking as well, which is interesting too, because if an artist sticks to their sound that they got so popular off of, like, why isn't that also bopping off, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know who did take a big official hiatus and then release a successful album? Fall Out Boy.
Oh, she's been waiting to say it.
And it was also a drastic change in their music.
When was their
not
hiatus?
Not just the hiatus.
Between which albums?
Between Fully Ado and Save Rock and Roll.
Oh my, yeah, that was their, yeah, that's
that
for sure.
That was their hiatus. Ooh.
And
because
I think the Save Rock and Roll is my favorite.
Fully Ado did so bad with, did
I think
so
Fall Out Boy's
poorly
overrated.
With their,
overrated?
I'm just saying
oh my
that.
God.
I'm just saying that. I'm kidding.
Girl punches.
You're
I'll back you up.
You're can I have your opinion?
Oh.
I forgot what I was going
to
say.
No, I agree. Fully I do to say rock and roll. That's a huge change. That's like punk to like rock.
Oh, I was saying they took that hiatus because Fully I do did so poorly with critical.
Oh,
I know you like Fully I do.
Fully
I
do is personally my favorite Fall Out Boy album.
I really only like
I
Don't Care.
But the fans back then really didn't like it and they were being so disrespectful and angry. It shows that Patrick was like, we're done. We're going to go do our own thing now. And then they came back, they released Save Rock and Roll. And there were a couple songs off Save Rock and Roll that made the radio.
You know,
I'm pretty sure.
You know who really
loved
Young
very,
Volcano?
It,
that
sorry,
was a huge
I'm
album.
Almost done talking about Fall Out Boy. One thing I will say, though, is that they marked this drastic change in the music they put out after that hiatus. And they wanted to make such a point about that, that one of the official music videos for the Save Rock and Roll songs they released is literally them setting a fire in the street and burning all of their old EPs in it. Like they bring out all their old albums and then it's just a music video of them burning their past selves and they're like, oh, here we are
see,
now.
You might
We're
disagree.
A phoenix.
Ooh,
yes, I'm done
there
now.
You go. If you might disagree. I think that the hiatus that they took, I like their music a lot more now.
Oh,
a lot of people do. Well, I mean, a lot of people.
It's more modern sounding,
too,
right?
But
it's a lot more modern. See, it's went from emo, punkish. I call it new punk. It went from like emo and new punk to like more rock, more accessible rock.
Okay,
and I like
even,
it a lot more. I feel like it matured.
It's even on some EDM too.
Yeah, I don't like that though.
With Mania.
Well, yeah, I don't
really?
Like the EDM.
Mania. Oh yeah. Some heavy EDM
the, what,
Young and Menace.
What was the song? Yeah, that's the one I repressed.
Young and Menace.
Ooh. Trash.
Did you just say you repressed it?
Yeah.
Like,
dude, here's the thing. Mania, great. They released Young and Menace as a single off the album, and Young and Menace sucks butt.
Oh.
I think it's really bad.
Okay.
You should listen to it because it is like full on EDM.
I'm so
I mean,
stuck on the mature
I'm not
going to
sit here and defend EDM because EDM can suck really bad. So,
my matured comment?
Yeah.
I said their music matured. I didn't say I matured.
No, I know. That kind of gets me, though, because I feel like that's saying as a whole that, like, emo and grunge punk music can't be mature. But people listen to that
just
at all ages.
I don't say it's immature, but I wouldn't say it's mature.
That's, I would say that it's stereotyped as being immature.
I think
and
it's
that
like,
puts a stigma around adults who want to listen to emo music.
This is what I'll say. I'll say it's volatile. I won't say immature because that's not correct. I'll say it's volatile. It's less consistent.
No, I respect your opinion. I respect your opinion. I just wanted to put mine out there too.
It's less consistent, I think.
Amir, shut up.
Amir's afraid of you. Do you know that?
I don't know why, because I'm so nice to him.
He thinks he's he waits to make comments, then he's like, oh no, I done fooked up.
I'm not into anyway.
I don't think emo music can be mature. I think, you know what? I'll say, I think a big staple of emo music is being volatile. I don't want to say immature, because that's not correct, because I think immature is like juvenile, but I think volatile is like kind of what emo music is about.
Yeah. But I mean, you can do that at any age, and you don't have to be immature to do that.
Yeah, I didn't say mature. I just said volatile. No, mature
this conversation began with you saying mature. Bitch.
Yeah, I didn't say immature, though. That's the difference.
I'm sorry. That's what I gathered.
I'm not saying it's immature. I'm saying it's different. Like, mature, I think it's like it's more accessible. It's more consistent.
It's more radio friendly. It's more commercial friendly music than it used to be. Emo's never commercial friendly.
And it's less upset.
Which is why 21 Pilots was so surprised that they got to be commercial friendly, because they used to write songs in their emo influenced music and be like, this song will never be on the radio. And then psych.
What do you consider? Hold on. What do you consider emo?
Huh?
What do you consider emo?
Oh, that's a whole.
I don't know. I
have to be a B-side, maybe.
Think of emo. Maybe we just think of emo in a different way.
Yeah, probably.
Now, anyways,
call it what you want.
To debut albums. Yeah, call it what you want. What else is out there that you're seeing? I think one of them is Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah, they never followed that up, in my opinion.
I don't think that's true. They had like one bad album, I think.
Oh, one.
Yes. Yeah, they had the spaghetti incident or accident, whatever it is.
The spaghetti incident.
The spaghetti incident is garb.
Carbo.
But I mean, hey, at least at the end of the day, there's something that exists in the world that was named the spaghetti.
Like Chinese
that was
democracy?
Okay, so the Appetite for Destruction was their first one. Let me look at some of their other stuff.
Wait, what?
Do you like Chinese democracy?
It's one of their albums.
Yeah, it's their most recent one.
I really
but
can't.
Is that, you like that one?
I can't say I've listened to it, so no.
I'm out of this convo because I know little to no
like
Guns
all
Roses.
The albums.
I'm looking for.
Cause you said I don't
okay.
Know
here we
about
go.
That.
Use Your Illusion, 1 and 2 were good. I didn't even know they had one after Spaghetti Incident. If I'm being honest with you.
What about Guns N' Roses Lies? Oh.
One super duper amazing debut album for me that also doesn't have a song on it that I would skip. It's a smaller artist, but Swimmers. Their only album out right now is called Drive North, and it's super. Frickin', it was very successful in the genre, and I'm very anxious to see the next full album that they follow it up with, because honestly, I'm not sure how they're
is it SWMRS?
Do better.
I thought that Swimmers and Dreamers was the same band for a while.
Ooh.
I thought that Swimmers and Dreamers was the same band for a while.
Oh, I don't know Dreamers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They like the same music. You should listen to them. They're good.
I probably would like them then, because I really dig Swimmers. And I dig Drive North, and I want to see what they follow that up with.
You guys ever listen to Fiddler? Fiddler?
Who?
No.
Uh-uh.
Floor?
Really hard garage rock that was really good. So they dropped their self-titled album in 2012. It's really good. They tried to follow it up with 2, which was in 2015, but... Yeah. Anyways, another example, I think. It's hard. I don't know. I feel like this isn't generating... A huge conversation.
I want to throw it back to last week with Weezer, because you said that you really liked Pinkerton, which was the follow-up to the Blue album.
I'm pretty solid on Pinkerton.
Have you heard Pinkerton?
Yes. Hannah?
What do you think? That's a follow-up to a debut album that was killer.
Pinkerton is not one of my main rotations when it comes to Weezer.
So do you think that was like one where they didn't follow? Do you think they kind of caught it again with, because you said you liked the White album?
Yeah,
I love the White Album.
It kind of came full circle. They were like, here's
something
really good.
That's kind of an unpopular opinion, though. Like, not a lot of people like their newer stuff.
Let me ask this question. Maybe this is a better question. First debut album is solid. then is the next one bad or is it just bad relatively? So is it more like expectations become set after that? So even though that follow-up album isn't bad, it's just not as good as the first one. Right. So you expect more from it. But as you come to expect appropriately from that band, do you then, do the albums seem to go up in quality, but they really are the same?
No.
For some artists, I think you expect a change. Like, I guess to bring Kendrick back up, like, I did expect a change. Like, no one can make Two Pimp a Butterfly twice, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm. At the same time, though, if I look at someone like Drake, I'm assuming he's probably going to make the same stuff that's going to be poppy and going to make the radio. So I feel like it depends on the artist that you're looking at and their track record. But that said, like, if you're coming off a debut, I do feel like you're probably expected to make that same type of music. And for a band like Foster the People to go and kind of strap out or bring out the electronic stuff that made it different, something like that is.
Well, here's a question.
I was going to say.
You can
I was just going to throw out an artist because I'm like, I don't know if anyone listens to R&B like that for Bryson Tiller's first album.
Yeah, it's extremely
good.
Yeah.
But then his second one is.
It was really poppy.
Yeah, it wasn't. I can't remember really anything from it, but like.
Which one is Don't off of?
That's Trap Soul, the first one.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
That is a fucking amazing album. But Trap Hole. Bryson Tiller specifically, his first album, it kind of falls into the same category where I was talking about how an artist like has a lot to talk about on their first one because he kind of threw everything out on his first album.
Right.
And then it blew up. And then everyone kind of threw him into like a category with other R&B artists that were big or are big at the time. But then his second album came and it kind of has since thrown him heavily, like heavy down.
That's what you, so this is why you should do the Brockhampton method. And you'd make a shit ton of music and you put it out over three different installments.
Okay, here's another, and then you have
room to chill out and then you kind of cultivate some new stuff and become Iridescent.
One thing that I also want to bring up as a decline is that my man, I really like Logic. Mm. I hope this doesn't upset you, Amir.
No, fuck.
No? Okay.
I thought you hated Logic.
What do you mean?
I love Logic.
I used to love Logic.
And I think that when he debuted with Under Pressure
is so good.
Yeah, yeah. Under Pressure.
I never knew you liked him. I thought you didn't like him. No, I thought you didn't like him.
I don't like his
either.
Current stuff.
That's exactly where I'm going. I think Under Pressure was amazing. Music. I think The Incredible True Story was good. And Bobby Tarantino was like arguably his most successful. He tried to remake it with a Bobby Tarantino 2 that he put out not too long ago. But I think that everything after the original Tarantino is just further down and down. And I hate to say that because I love Logic. I love everything he stands for. I really like his music.
That's
He keeps putting stuff out and it keeps not being as good as Under Pressure and Bobby Tarantino era Logic.
That's why I really don't like Logic now is because I feel like back when like Under Pressure came out, it was like he was just rapping about like, you know, just himself. And then like it got to like, I feel like with Everybody specifically, which was the
his biggest, not himself, that too.
And it's also since it's his biggest album, that's the one where he really started to, hey, did you know I'm mixed?
Yeah.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
I am half black, half white.
I am cool, half lame.
I am black as my cousin Keisha, but I'm also white. Do you understand that?
I guess
on every song. And I was like, okay, Bobby.
Chill.
Relax, dude. I get it. You're mixed. It's cool.
Yeah, he does kind of, he throws that out there a lot.
Okay, so you mentioned the Foster, I'll bring this back to the Logic thing. So you mentioned the Foster People thing where they, between their first and second album, they had a change in sound. But what about someone like The Killers? I don't listen to Logic, so maybe like Logic as well, who stayed within that genre,
actually,
made the same kind of music. And they just didn't have the radio play because no song was single material, which is sometimes all it is.
I mean,
you can make the same music, really, and sometimes you just strike gold and you get a song that's super catchy. And I think it's hard to tell in the process sometimes what's going to be catchy and what isn't. Like you did with, what was the song from Weezer that they were like, put it on there? Buddy Holly?
Buddy Holly.
And it's sometimes hard to tell what's going to be a radio hit or just a hit in general. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how do you, you can make the same, you can change genres and that'll cause the fail. But sometimes your fail is just because luck. You lucked out on the first album, got some good ones. You can try to do that same thing again. And there's just not the magic there that made you lucky the first time.
One band in indie that I think is similar to this is Alt-J. Like, they came out with An Awesome Wave, which had, like, Test Light and Breeze Blocks back-to-back, which, and Fitz Pleasure, which carried that album. And then I think they started to try to recreate that on This Is All Yours. I don't know if you guys listened to it at all. Listen to all of Jay.
I know the first album. I don't know the second one.
Yeah, and now they're making, like, 80s throwback weird stuff.
MGMT
plays all Jay in class.
Yeah, and it's not the best.
I almost feel like with Logic, he released two albums this year.
So
I feel like they almost get desperate, where they're like,
That's actually funny because Logic has been making comments about how he's almost done. Like, he's publicly been like, I might put out one more album maybe, and then I'm done.
Because I feel like if you just try to release as much music as you can and be like, hopefully something catches, because at this point. What's the point?
The Fetty Wap effect?
That's exactly what I was thinking, actually.
Well, that was his fault.
Yeah, well...
But no, that was his label's fault. I'll explain later on with the Fetty Wap thing. But with Logic specifically, it felt like Logic wasn't back then looking for the radio hit. And then when he finally got one on everybody with the phone number, Alessia Cara... Oh, that's Logic. when he got the song with Alessia Cara, who's also... On That Clock, when he got that, he kind of been like trying to find his way back into getting that, like, again, catching that same fame again. But it hasn't worked because, I mean, Logic has like one of the best core bases of anyone because he always gets 100,000 sales without a doubt.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know how, but he does. So falling back to like to Fetty Wap, unless you have something to say about Logic really quick.
No, I definitely do prefer early Logic though. Yeah. I could talk about Logic's. Never mind. I was gonna equate that to something else. There's a possibility that I might do Under Pressure or Bobby Tarantino as a personal classic in the future, though, just because early Logic is my stuff. Yeah.
But
I want to shout out my
decline, though.
I want to shout out my EDM folk and throw out an album. Because EDM's weird, but one album that I think, or one artist that I think didn't follow it up the best was R.L. Grime. I don't know if you guys have heard of him or a fan of him at all.
I don't know how I have, but I have.
He had Void, which had like a Big Sean song on there. It's a really good EDM album. Mm-hmm. And then he came out with Nova, and it's a lot more pop culture-y. Like, he has a song with Joji and a Ty Dolla $ign and Chief Keef. Did you say racist?
Julia Michaels, Miguel.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
And it's not as good of an album, in my opinion. And R.L. Grime has been like hailed as the king of trap music specifically nowadays, like electronic trap music. And I don't think his follow up like made it to that degree of how much people were hyping it up. So that's just another one.
But yeah, to tie into
Nova doesn't even sound like it's going to be as cool as Void.
Had a cool album cover.
You can't go from Void to Nova.
Yeah, from Fetty Whoop. About Fetty Wap, what happened to him was when he was on his before he got signed, he was throwing out like he would just throw out a whole bunch. He put like 100 songs on like SoundCloud and be like, "All right, here's 100 songs," and then people would be like, "That's good, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good." So then when he got signed, he put that all on one album, and that's why that first album is like hit after hit after hit after hit. And then the second album, since he was with a label now, they were like, all right, so what's the single about? And he's like, single? I got to make a single now? I just threw out 100 songs and like 5 of them hit. I had to actually like not make a bunch of music and throw it out. And that's what kind of slowed up the process for him to do something. Or also when Rich Homie Quan was like huge at one point. It was a label issue.
That's why we're seeing a trend towards... like more singles. I feel like there's more singles and just like individual song releases than ever before. Like, because then if you make one good album and you get that fan base, you're like, all right, I don't even want to risk it with another album. Let me just jump on a bunch of collabs and I'll be good.
Well, it's also, I feel like that people's like today's culture and generation of people aren't like really willing to spend time and listen to a whole album.
Like groupies will.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people are just like, give me
us
this
old fogies.
Yeah, us fogies, us phonies. But a lot of other people are willing to just be like, give me the single. I want a single. Give me the single. I'll just listen
instant
to that a million times. Yeah.
Unless you have a Logic or like Ariana Grande or whatever fan base that's going to listen to your whole album no matter what.
Outside of that, like, it's really fast food, especially like in hip hop. It's like, I need the single fucking now.
I feel like you need like an album to start it. And then after that, at this point where we are in music, single you can just be like, all right, singles from here on yeah. out.
It was even hard for me, like, trying to think of modern day debut albums because I'm like in a single or like a playlist driven mode of listening at this moment. So like, I don't know. Oh, it's hard to generate.
Completely like playlist driven mode. That doesn't yeah. mean I won't like search albums and then add the albums to my playlist, sure. but I'm mostly a playlist.
I don't know. Yeah. I was just having trouble with it.
I don't know if you count as a rap. But that's kind of.
It's a mixtape, right?
Yeah, I know, but it's like, damn, it's basically an album.
Yeah.
I'm like 50-50.
50-50?
Playlist versus album 50 listening. 50 Cent?
I like album listening because I want to hear the whole, you know, package. I feel like the I am
I don't
into,
always have time, so maybe that's part of the reason.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
it's
an album is an
thing.
Experience.
We can agree that at least nowadays you still need a debut album. Like,
yeah,
that
I think
is
you
something
do.
As an yes. artist that you need to have.
I think...
Yeah, I think you do because
like
you
little
can't
EP just have singles. You have to like release an album.
Yeah, because I feel like you could put on a clock if you don't have a. Even personally,
Amir has got so many people on his clock.
I have my clock is giant.
He cuts out he prints out this picture,
and I'm like, you're
he has
on
a
it.
Huge clock on his wall, and just
and you're on
snips
it.
Snips it out.
Yes.
And goes.
I just took Chance the Rapper off of my
he's
clock.
He's got it pinned on his wall. Oh my gosh, it's just like the Excel sheet I have for live experiences.
Yeah,
which you have a clock.
What's crazy to me is when artists will release music and then not follow it up like with a more comprehensive thing. Like there's this band I really like right now called Weathers. Who might be like one of my favorite bands to listen to right now.
Ever?
And they released a song called, I think it was called Happy Pill or something like that. And it was like super good. But that was like literally the only song that they had for like a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is a really good song. I want to hear more from them. And then they didn't release anything else, you know, for that long. And it's kind of like now that I don't think they did a lot of single releases. They just kind of like threw the album out there. Or they had two EPs that they combined. But it's like, you can't. I don't understand. I feel like you should make music, get that single, and then get the album, and then coast from there.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe you shouldn't, but I feel like that's the best way to like get a fan base.
Sure,
because people are hooked by like the emotion and all that kind of stuff, and then after that, they're like, "All right, we already got it. Now just hit us with some bops."
Mm-hmm.
And, like no one's like, "I want to have a cathartic experience every single time you release music."
Well, I mean,
the mainstream.
Yeah, I mess with that.
I think it's a grappling point for a lot of musicians. It's like mainstream or honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I understand. I feel that. And you want me to close it out here?
Yeah, I feel like
yeah,
you can.
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Well, this was Groupies B-side.
Hold on. Did you have something else you wanted to say?
No.
This is Groupies B-side, the dark side. And, you know, like they say, the B-side is more of us talking about a topic like true music groupies would around talking about how hot the artist is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But yeah, so this has been Groupies Side B. B side.
We are now tired and hungry.
Yep.
We record this after the A side.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get some food and rest. But we just want to make sure to tell you also to get some food and rest.
That too, because it's
not only do you deserve quality jams, but you deserve food and rest.
Yes, because you need it. I need it.
Even if that means Tom's walking into someone else's house to get some rest.
Oh, shit. Well, that's
find the nearest house, walk into it.
That there is a story for another
and
time.
There where you feel very comfortable, obviously. Get some rest.
Yes.
Get some food and rest.
That there is a story for another time. So, yeah, that was Groupies, and we'll see you next week on Monday and Wednesday, our 2 days. And listen to all the other awesome shows on Anmore. But, yeah, bye.
But, yeah.